Corinthians chapter 1, and this is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I have a tendency to preach through books or preach through the lives of people, but I hope by God's grace we can preach the whole counsel of God. I don't know how this is going to turn out tonight. We'll just see how it goes, okay? But the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you for being here. Time I got done preaching this morning, I thought I should have paid y'all $10 just to have come and put up with me. Man, it just, to me, the message just died like a rock. You know, it's just, I was preaching, getting along there, and all of a sudden, and I'm not saying that for compliments. I'm just, or something. I'm pretty real about things. If I think God's really in something, I'll say so. But when I think God is kind of like Reggie or Waller now, anyway, just pray for me. I believe preachers ought to be prepared, not only prepared, but filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe they ought to have something for people when they come to church, and I really believe that. But I had a preacher tell me here a while back, he said, Reggie, he said, you know, he said, been going through a time when it seemed like I'm not getting any messages. So he said, I just started reading the Bible to the church. I just stopped and once in a while I say something, but he said, it seemed like God's blessing that more than all my messages I ever got. And no, so anyway, but we need God's word. Anyway, this is a great, great epistle. Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. Verse number one, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. And if you read the epistles, you'll see him do this over and over again. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God always, we have to get grace before we can ever have peace. And you'll never see God reverse that. It's always grace first and then there's peace. And I want to encourage you to humble ourselves that we get the grace of God and then we have the peace of God in our lives. But he gets in verse number three and he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And I'd like for you to underline that, the Father of mercies, and underline the God of all comfort. I'm glad tonight we serve a God of all comfort. I got home from church today, and just quick as I got home, Karen came out with the text that Mrs. McQuarrie had passed away. And anyway, I want to read, and then we'll come back. Verse 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, the word consolation there is where you're getting, you're consoled. It has to do with comfort and so forth. And he says, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. In verse number 6, he contrasts affliction with comfort. He said, no matter one or the other, it's for your consolation and salvation. Verse number 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. And I'm going to be real honest with you about preaching this. I feel like a hypocrite. I feel like I don't know what I'm preaching. And the reason I say this, what Paul went through. We in America know nothing about suffering. We know nothing about real trials. We know nothing about the real problems, that, especially like that they had in these early days here and that they're having around the world. Over in some of the Islamic countries, Pakistan and so forth, the Muslims are burning churches down. News will not report on it hardly. You have to find it out through other news sources. They're killing and slaughtering Christians. I mean, over in parts of Indonesia, especially anywhere Muslims are at and they get any kind of dominance. I mean, tell you something now, folks, they're killing Christians bad. The Chinese government right now is cracking down on Christians hard and very, very oppressive. And there's a lot of persecution going on in the world, but we're like the frog in the water here. Let me just tell you about your gun situation. It's not going to be just here in the next 5 or 10 years. They're going to be a decree to come and get your guns. There'd be a civil war and they'd lose it and they know it. The deal is it's little by little by little. A little bit of restriction here, weapon restriction here and ammo restriction there. And we're like the frog in the hot water. We don't know that we're being boiled. And it's the way with persecution. California just passed some kind of resolution, the legislature out there, ordering preachers not to preach from their pulpits against sodomites. Little. See, they didn't make it a law. They just sent out a resolution. We're not telling you that you can't, but we're telling you shouldn't. And so we don't have what Paul had. Look what Paul endured here. He said, verse number 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." Now, I preached a message one time having to do with this thing, when your load exceeds your limits, pressed out of measure. Pressed out of measure means a breaking point. You can put a load on a pickup, you can break it down. You can put a load on a wagon, and you can put a load on yourself, break you down. That's why you always want to make sure that the burden and the yoke that you have on you is from Jesus, not from other people or yourself, because you can't hold it. And Paul said here, we were pressed out of measure above strength. He said, I was out of strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, I thought it was over with. Verse number 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And I'll stop there tonight in the reading. Lord, help us to preach tonight and feed the flock. In Jesus' name I pray, help me not to mess around with my thoughts, but Lord, to give your word to these people. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach tonight somewhat on comforting people. Look in verse number 3. It says these, the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Now, he said he comforts us in all our tribulation. And there's a reason that he comforts us. It's one of the reasons that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I know I've said this before, but it's the honest truth. I've done a lot of funerals, way more funerals than I'd like to have done. But to be honest with you, I've stood by caskets and I've hugged people and I've shook their hands. But until my daddy passed away, I understood at that time, I had not a clue what those people were really going through their heart and their mind. Because we had not lost a member of our family up to that point in time. I've even grieved over the fact that when my wife lost her daddy, I didn't know what she was going through. And that's just the honest truth. Yeah, you're sorry, you hate it, you know, you want to comfort, but you don't know. And Paul is saying there that a lot of the afflictions and the sufferings that hit us enable us to be able to comfort people, because I'm telling you the truth, if you haven't been there, you don't know. Now, you can give God's word, and God's word will always be true, and it'll be right, but there is a comforting level beyond that that only comes from experience of life and suffering and affliction that you've been through. And there are areas where I have no, you know, if you say, Reggie, boy, we was out of money and broke, I can relate to you. I've been there. If you say, well, I was sick, yeah, I've been there. But there's some things I haven't been there and I don't know about. Now, most of my life, I've been like the guys in Job 16:2. How many knows what Job said to his three friends? Yeah. Miserable comforters are you all. I mean, you know, and so comforting is a ministry. And not everybody really has it good, but we all ought to have some of it. I'm not good at comforting people. I don't know. It's just not my strong point. My idea of comforting people is zap, make them well, zap, fix their problem, and let's go on with life. And there's just something about me is very distant. I mean, Karen, she can go in and talk to people who've lost loved ones and who are sick. And you know, some of you others out there have that same ability to do that. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to say or I don't know what to do. And fact of it is, I almost feel hypocritical in that if I just give them a verse or I say these nice cliches, you know, empty, because you're supposed to say something. But I will say this, let's not be like Job's comforters. They came in and they wanted to blame him and say, well, there's secret sin in your life and all that kind of junk. People don't need that. Just be honest with you. Now, sure, there's things in life that we reap what we sow and all that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a true ministry in comforting. And Christianity is a faith and a religion of comfort because he is the God of all comfort. If you look at Buddhism, Islam, all that kind of stuff, their God is a mean, harsh, demanding, cruel God. And he's not a God of mercy. He's not a God of comfort. And you know what's really wonderful? In John chapter 14, the Bible tells us Jesus said that when he would leave, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And boy, if you've ever experienced the comfort of the Holy Ghost in your life, there's nothing like that in this world. And I'm telling you something, I do know a little bit about that because the times when I've needed comfort, the greatest comfort I get comes from the Holy Spirit of God who just comforts my heart, comforts my mind, comforts my spirit, literally just comforts me in so many ways in the ministry. I could almost feel like I could write a book on it. But let me say there's situations. If you go back in the Old Testament now, he's not the God. He didn't say he's the God of all criticism. He's the God of all comfort. He didn't say he's the God of all correction. He's the God of all comfort. He didn't say he was the God of all condemning. He's the God of all comfort. And if he's the God of all comfort, then I want to say something to us here in this church house. And you pray for me. We ought to be a people of comfort. When people are hurting in our congregation or our neighbors or our family members are hurting, we ought to be people who know how to comfort them with the comfort of God. Give them in God's comfort. God comforted all through the Old Testament. I won't take time tonight to go through, but if you go back and study it out, God comforted people. But there's one person you want to watch in the Old Testament about comfort, and that was Jacob. Jacob had a son. He had sons who sold a brother, of course, down to Egypt, Joseph, and they came back and they deceived him, right? And the Bible talks about, but you know what the Bible says about Jacob? He refused to be comforted. Now, you listen to me tonight. You watch that. There are people who refuse to be comforted. They want to wallow and they just want to I don't know whether it's attention they get from it or whether it's some kind of a weird satisfaction they get, but you need to let God comfort you. There's things we need to get over and get past. This morning, this kind of goes along with what I was preaching this morning. It's almost kind of amazing to me. I was mentioning about, and I don't want to overbear this thing, but I failed to say this today, but in that movie, Love Comes Softly, this Clark guy, the secret of his whole deal about refreshing was, if you've ever seen that movie, he would take his Bible, go up on the hill, and he had a bench up there sitting on the tip top of the hill overlooking the valley, and he would go up there and sing hymns and read his Bible, and he would pray. And he took her up there, and he left her up there and said, this is what you need. If you really want refreshing, if you want help, if you want to get past the loss of your loved one, if you want to get past the grief and the sorrow and the pain of all this, get your Bible open, get out there in the woods somewhere and get with God. That's how I get comfort. That's how I get refreshing. And that's why I think there's so much good in that movie that you can glean from, because there's some things in there that they're telling you that you can't find anywhere else. Jacob refused to be comforted. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I get a whooping from the Lord in a funny way. It's kind of comforting. At least I know I'm his. Amen. If I'm without chastisement, I'm not one of his. But if I get chastised, I know I'm his son. The Bible said in Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We need to learn how to have sorrow over sin if we're going to get comfort. You want comfort, repent of your sin and so forth. But the prodigal son, when he came back, what did a picture of God the Father and the repentant sinner? He was comforted. Kill the fatted calf, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet, ring on his hand, comfort him. And that's what God wants us to do. I often think about Luke 16:25, where God said, now he, Lazarus, is comforted, but thou art tormented. Heaven's going to be a place of comfort. Amen. Heaven's going to be a place of comfort. Now, having said all that, he said in verse number 4, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. If you go to a church and you're involved in that church and you care about people in that church, God will give you opportunity to comfort people. First of all, let me just say, as we have here tonight, when somebody has died, people need comfort. I would encourage each of you to reach out to this family that's lost a loved one today, somehow or another. Maybe by a card, a call, a personal visit. But let me tell you something. I've had people, I felt so helpless and so useless oftentimes. But you know what people say, Reggie? You didn't need to say anything, just knowing you cared. Knowing that you cared. That ministers to people. A lot of times, to be honest with you, I think that's part of my problem. I think I've got to say something. You don't always have to say anything. Sometimes maybe better off not to say much at all. Just let them know you care. And comfort people that are in death. I just have learned to appreciate it through our daddy's death, the people that would comfort. I'll just tell that. Second thing, when people are sick, how many likes to be comforted when you're sick? I like for Karen to feel very sorry for me. I like for her to come in with a wet washcloth and put it on my forehead and say, oh, you poor baby. And I'm so sorry that you're sick. I don't think she's ever done that since we got married. Have you ever done that? I don't think. She just says, get well or die, one or the other, bud, because I'm going outside and working. Amen. But no kidding about it. When people are sick, a comforting is a blessing. Amen. You tell you what, you go to hospital, see people, encourage and pray with them. Just lifts their spirit. And again, this goes back to this morning's message, refreshing their spirit. You know, in a church, we ought to want to know how to minister to people. You see, from my perspective, being called to preach, my call to ministry is preaching the Bible. But that's not all there is in ministry. In fact, it's a long way from being all. And I tell you, to be able to comfort someone who's sick, I'll just go through this again. I mean, I learned so much by being with my dad there. I mean, I will never forget that morning when he said, Reggie, why don't you read the Bible? And we read through the book of Philippians, and of course in there is where it says, to die is gain. And he wanted to talk about all the scriptures that I could think of about what happens to a person after they die. And I'm telling you something, it's wonderful to be able to take the Bible and tell people an absolute truth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's how you comfort people. So we'll talk about that. But when people are sick, I encourage you to comfort them. Van and I were talking about this brother that lost their son. I didn't go to the funeral. I didn't go to the visitation. I texted him later on and offered to be available, so forth like that. I'm just not the best at that kind of stuff, but some people have a better gift at it. But when people are sick or they lost a loved one, it is a time for us to comfort them. Not only that, people that are lonely. And I want to just apologize. Mrs. DeGase, you're here as faithful usually, but I want to apologize that I have not come and seen you more than I have. I should at least drop by and said hi. And I'm serious. And that's a weak part of mine. It's not because I don't love you or don't think about you or appreciate you. But in all honesty, widows are often very lonely. And loneliness is a mean thing. Do you ever get lonely? No. Not really? Okay, well, I won't come by and see you then. Okay. That went out. You know why? Let me tell you one reason you're not lonely is because you're in church. I'll just be honest with you. And stay busy. Are y'all paying attention? Better listen. Your service. Amen. She gets lonely. She starts singing. She stays busy. She goes to church. Well, there it is. And but on the other hand, loneliness, Billy Graham would say, and I don't want to get into about whether you like him or don't like him, but Billy Graham would say that if he announced that he was going to preach on loneliness, would always, every time in his crusades, the biggest crowds would come. People are lonely. And we need to comfort people. We need to comfort them by letting them know that Jesus will never leave them nor forsake them. One of his big deals is to make us feel like we're alone. Nobody loves us. God doesn't care. He tries to trap us in the loneliness. But I love that song, Sister Melody. And don't you miss Sister Melody? I miss Sister Melody. I tell you what. I just feel like, where'd she go? I mean, honest to goodness, it's just like, boom, you know, people are gone. And you wonder, you know. You know, boy, what about the day we all meet together in heaven again? Won't that be something? Amen. Well, that's going to be exciting. I bet you reckon she'll play the piano in heaven? I wouldn't doubt it if she can. Amen. And but, you know, people can get. She introduced us to that song, Never Alone. And she liked that song, Never Alone. But we ought to try to comfort people that are lonely. Sometimes they're sitting a lot closer to you than you might think. And then people that are grieving. People are grieving a lot, and there's a lot of grief out here in this world. And I mean, stuff I get hit with, and you know, I'm telling you right now, when you know somebody calls you up and says, "Reggie, you know, my son's in jail, or my son's in prison, or you know, our daughter's into this and daughter's into that," and it's just on and on. And I mean, the parents just grieving, they're hurting. I mean, literally, their hearts tore up, and they're grieving. And we need to comfort people that are grieving, whether it's by loss or whatever it might be, but. Let me tell you something I'm really glad about comforting. Now listen to me. God, are you listening? God does not comfort an unrepentant saint. But he will comfort a person who confesses their sin and turns from it. Now I know that for personal, practical experience. I get sin in my life, and I go out there somewhere on a rock, and I just kneel down or sit down on a stump and just bow my head before God and say, "God, I need to talk to you about some things. Lord, I'm going to shell it out, and I'm going to get honest with you right here." I am telling you, there is a comfort that comes from confession of sin. And today and tonight, if you want comfort, I am telling you with all my heart, please listen to me. I'm not preaching off some little sermonette. You repent of your sin, you confess your sin, and confession means you tell God exactly what it was. You admit what's going on. You name it. You name it. And there is power in that, and I am telling you something, the Holy Spirit of God, God is so pleased with that. He desires truth in the inward parts. And if you want comfort, and I'm a strong believer, this is why we've got all this liquor, all this drugs, all this junk that people's doing, because they're looking for comfort. And they're looking for this refreshment, but they're looking in the wrong places. And I'm telling you, I just want to tell you, listen, hey, folks tonight, I'm your pastor, but I sin more than I'd ever wanted you to know. I sin way more than I'd ever want any of you to know. I would be ashamed for God to pull the curtain down and let you see what rose through my mind. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. And I was preaching the other day down in Arkansas, and I tell you what, I don't know. God just put a spirit of truth on me, because let me just tell you the honest truth about me is when I get into churches that believe you can lose your salvation, and those what you're into, I'll just be honest, what you're into is a bunch of lying situations. They do not believe what they're doing is sin, and it won't, and they've recategorized all sin, and the stuff they're doing is not sin, and it's a big bunch of, because if they ever admitted to sin, they'd have to admit they were lost again. And it's just crazy. And one of the deals I got into recently was I was just preaching, and I mean, I just said, "Lord, please give me the ability to just cut the grass." But I'm so thankful to serve a God of mercy tonight that when I've come to Him and confess my sin and be honest with Him, He comforts me. He comforts me. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He comforts me and let me know, "Reggie, you're my son." I've said this before, and I'm telling you, I had a preacher come to me one time and late at night, and he'd gotten himself in trouble with a woman, and he had preached for years that you could lose your salvation, and he told me that night. He said, "Reggie, even in the midst, and after this sin I got involved in," he said, "I never felt I was lost. That I'd lost my sonship with God." I said, "You're getting it." But he said, "You but the getting honest and the confession was the hard part." And I just want to encourage you tonight. If you want comfort, repent. People that are sorrowful, they need comfort. People that are troubled, they need the comfort tonight. And by the way, can I say to you, when you fail, you tried something and failed, comfort people. You know, I'm kind of a half-wit entrepreneur. I've tried 1,007. Last year was 1,000 things I've tried. This year it's 1,017 things I've tried. And all but two or three of them have failed. When somebody does something and it doesn't work, don't say, "Well, I told you it wouldn't work." Say, "Hey, get up and try again." Don't be discouraged. Might not have worked that time. Maybe God's taking you somewhere. You know, encourage people, comfort people. It's not the end of the world. Usually failures are stepping stones to success somewhere down the road. Anyway, you say, how do we comfort people? I think one of the reasons God had me to camp out in 1 Corinthians 13 so much about charity was to teach me how to comfort people. How do you comfort people? If you're sick in hospital, do you like the nurse to walk in and go, hey, turn over there so I can shoot you with a big needle? Even today, I had a situation where a person talked to me about how a hospital person treated their family member, and they did not like it. Kindness. If you want to comfort people, be kind. Be kind. Jesus was kind, and kindness can comfort people. Boy, if somebody's kind to you when you're hurting, I'll tell you, just, if you want to comfort people, be kind. If you want to comfort people, have genuine concern. Be genuinely concerned. I have a problem. Now, it's okay. You can be honest with me here. I've been a long time. You don't even know how bad a sorry dog I am. Okay? I'm worthless. But I have a problem. Brother Phil, would you step up here just a second, please, and help me? Phil comes up to me. Now, watch this. Comforting people. He comes up to me, and let's just say that he's had a very rough week. He's got some bad news. He's had financial business and just blowed out and that blowed out. And he comes up to me, and he's kind of wanting, he really doesn't tell me, but he's just kind of wanting me to encourage him in the Lord. He's hoping that I'll encourage him in the Lord. And so he's talking to me, and I'm doing this. Y'all see what I'm doing? You want to not comfort somebody when they're seeking comfort. Don't pay attention to them. Act like you're really not interested. You're taking up my time, Phil. What you're saying to him, you're taking up my time, don't you know? And one of the best way to comfort people is just stop, block everybody else out, and say to yourself, you know, I may want to go on home, and I may have other things I need to do, but this person may need comfort. And I'm going to give him my full attention and look him in the eye and be concerned. Listen, let him know that I'm listening. I have a problem. Thank you, Brother Phil. I appreciate that. You just handed there. But I have a problem if I'm not careful, Brother Dennis. You'll be talking to me and I'm shooting my eyes off. That don't comfort people. Be genuinely concerned about whatever they're going on in their world. If you want to comfort. I'm just talking, preaching tonight about how to comfort, why we should comfort. And then your presence can comfort people. Just being there. Just being there. As I said, going by that person's house or going to see them. Just presence. I've had to learn that. You don't just have to have a bunch of stuff to say. They don't need to hear it all. But if they just know you care by your presence of being there. And then, as I said, talking about here, listen to people. Listen to people. If you want to comfort people, listen to them. You remember Brother Horner talking about how to comfort people? Sit there and listen to them for 2 hours and they're telling you all their troubles. And every once in a while, I go, my, my, my. Every once in a while, I go, mercy sakes alive. Then about 15 minutes later, say, my, my, my. And then after that, say, mercy, my, mercy me. And he said, after about a couple hours of that, they'll just say, oh, you helped me so much. That's kind of the way. I mean, honestly, you know, how many likes for somebody to listen to you? Just like to be listened to. Sometimes we're hurting. We just want some, you know, we want God to listen to us. And then encourage people. You get past it. It'll be a better day. There'll be a brighter day coming. And then this is probably the biggest one I know of comforting people. Use the Bible. Use a verse. Find a verse. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, there's just verses all through the Bible. And you can comfort people with the Word of God. One of the first most difficult things I ever dealt with as a pastor was a classmate of mine whose one-year-old child was run over by the mother. And I never will forget when I was actually at a conference in Mississippi and I got word, phone call, left out. And drove a long way, hard drive, got there and drove up to his house. And when I got out of the car, he literally just stumbled off the steps and just stumbling across the yard and fell on me. You know, And Reggie, why did God take my boy? Why did God take my boy? And it's hard to have anything to say, but what God brought to my mind was David said this when he lost his baby. He cannot return to me, but I shall go to him. And I just simply told him, the only thing I know to tell you is that he's with the Lord, and you can go to him and you can see him again someday. Past that, I don't really have anything. But just giving them a piece of scripture, some truth of God's word. So that's why we need to know our Bibles and know verses and how to apply specific verses to it. I think this ain't going real good. A card sometimes is very helpful. Send a card. Letting people know food. Boy, isn't it wonderful to get food when you're hurting, when people need comfort, just people sending food. I'll just be honest with you. Over the years, I would say if there's one big thing that families appreciate when they're going through grief and stuff like that, it's food. They said, man, we didn't know what to do with it all. But, you know, it's just that something about that giving of food really blesses people and things of that nature. Flowers and gifts are a wonderful thing. And they just are, those of that nature. So I just want to encourage us tonight, and I butchered this up enough to do anybody. You could all preach a better message than I, because you know why I'm having a hard time? Because I'm not a good comforter. But I would say there's some places, sometimes when it's appropriate, it's good to put your arm around somebody's shoulder and just say, listen, I'm your friend, and I love you, and I'm here if you need me. That sometimes just comforts them. Let them know. We all need comfort. If you haven't needed comfort, hang around a while. You'll need it. You'll need it. Well, why don't we stand together tonight? And I hope you'll join me through this journey through 2 Corinthians. Well, I'm going to tell you one illustration of comfort. And I would like to tell a story that really makes me look good. How many like to hear a story that makes me look good? 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was at the house. And I got this call, or somebody hollered at me. I don't even remember now which. But my daughter's dog had been hit down on the highway. So I jump in and go to my four-wheeler and go down there. And sure enough, the dog's been hit, and it's down, and its hips, and blood's coming out of its mouth. And it don't look good. We put her dog in the back of her Jeep, and she took it to the veterinarians, and he said, for $3,000, I can set the hips, but it probably never make it. So she made the decision to have the dog put down. Now you know how much the dog meant to her. It didn't mean $3,000. Anyway, that night I got to thinking, because I knew how much she liked her dog and what her dog meant to her. And I called down to Tommy and Sheila's. If you ever have trouble and lose a dog, call some of the, call them people. And they had a dog down there, and we went down and got it. And you know, just the look on her face when she got that little pup, it was a comfort to her. Has that pup been a comfort to you, Susanna? All right. Now, Suzanne, I want to tell you a story. Zach was young, and he had a good dog. And a UPS truck run over his dog. He hasn't liked UPS trucks since. Ain't that right? He still does not like a UPS truck. And, you know, I thought how spoiled you are, Susanna, because I didn't buy Zachary a new dog. So you're a little spoiled, rotten lastborn. Daddy finally got soft enough to go buy a dog. But let me say something to you. Little things sometimes, you might not think, well, it ain't no big deal to lose your dog. Used to when I was a kid, it wasn't. But now things, if you use a dog, it's worse than losing your kid in America, right? But anyway, there's little things you can do to comfort people, kind of brighten them, help them over the hump a little bit. If you'll turn around and hug your wife, give her a little peck on the cheek and say, honey, I love you. You can go home. Or your mother. But they're waiting.